The challenge is it's extraordinarily difficult to do all of the tokenization stuff for $100,000 property. So most people are saying, look, the true potential of this is like stocks, because Google is a $1 trillion company broken up into millions and millions of shares. Right. Isn't that the value? So a lot of people are saying, let's go bigger. Let's look at multifamily hotels. Let's look at offices. Let's tokenize this. So there are now companies looking to tokenize those things. And once again, in the last 6 months, we're still in the first inning here, multiple companies have done that.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Neil Bawa, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show, Sam. Very excited to be here.
The pleasure's mine. You know, there's three questions I ask every guest who comes on the show. But before we get to that, can you quickly give our listeners just a quick bio on who it is they're listening to?
Sure. I'm a technologist, geek, dork, nerd, whatever you want to call me. Steeped in Silicon Valley culture, had a successful technology career, had a successful technology exit, and got into real estate by sharing real estate data analytics information with geeks all around the US. We currently have about 50,000 geeks following our analytics, which we publish 3 times a year. Currently have 700 investors in a portfolio that this year will hit $1 billion. We're not quite at $1 billion yet. We're pushing hard for it to hit $1 billion. We're also pushing hard for us to hit 1,000 accredited investors in our portfolio. We follow the analytics, which means that our portfolio ends up being in 10 different states, royal pain in the ass, but we go where the data tells us to go. So had great success with it, run a company called Grow Capitus. Don't provide education, but provide tons and tons of free insights and analytics at multifamilyu.com.
Man, that's fantastic. Neil, looking forward to jumping in today. And you kind of answered the three questions that I normally ask, which are where you start, where did you start, where are you now, and how did you get there? So we've got that out of the way. The thing I want to talk about today, you guys put out just a comprehensive, amazing report that was called the Real Estate Top 10 Disruptive Trends. I think that came out a couple months ago. First off, before we even get into it, where can our listeners get a copy of that?
Multifamilyu.com, that's multifamily followed by the letter U.com, has all 10 trends. Now, do understand, not all of those are equal. So I've suggested to Sam that we talk about the one that I consider far and away to be the most important and the most actionable of those 10.
Right. Yeah. And we're going to spend the rest of the show just talking about tokenization. Can you give us just a high level view? What in the world's going on with blockchain? What is tokenization? How's it affecting real estate? The floor is yours. Take it away.
Sounds good. So almost everybody here knows that real estate produces more income, more revenue, more returns than the stock market, right? This is not a secret. Everyone knows. Most people are like, why does that consistently happen? And if that is the case, why is it that people spend more money on stocks and bonds than they do on real estate? Why is it always in third position behind the other two if it makes more money? And the answer is simple. It takes anybody goes to a party. Sam Wilson goes to a party and there's people talking about some company, you know, their stock's going to go crazy, like Nvidia, you know. So Sam hears it from somebody credible. He's like, this guy knows what he's talking about. What does Sam do? He whips out his phone and taps on whatever his app of choice is, E-Trade, Robinhood, tap, and roughly 2 minutes later, you know, Sam owns some stock in Nvidia. Now try and think about how difficult that is to do for real estate. Sam goes to the same party, the same credible guy is talking, but this time the credible guy says, I can tell you anything that you buy, any kind of real estate that you buy in Idaho Falls is going to make a humongous amount of money in the next 3 years. That actually happens to be true, but it's an example. So Sam's like, Idaho Falls, oh my God, I'm going to be rich, but there's no app. There's no whip out the phone. Because what Sam now needs to do is spend hours and hours researching the real estate market in Idaho Falls, whether that's single family or multifamily. Then he needs to basically book a plane flight and go out there and talk to a bunch of people, brokers, blah, blah, blah. Repeat that process 2 or 3 more times before he puts it in his first offer, lose his first 5 or 6 offers, then win an offer and go through due diligence, realize it's not what it is, go put more offers in, win an offer, spend 3 months rehabbing the property, and then spend 2 months renting it out.
Right.
Now, compare that, which I would say at least, and I'm being very generous, is 100 hours of work. Compare that to the 2 minutes that it took you to whip out your phone and buy NVIDIA on Robinhood or E-Trade. This is why real estate, even though it is a superior asset class in every way to stocks, always comes in third behind stocks and bonds, right? So as you can imagine, people much, much smarter than I am have spent a huge amount of time in the past trying to say, how can I turn real estate into stock? What if real estate becomes stock? What if I could whip out my phone and buy dozens of different products in Idaho Falls today in that same 2 minutes? That would be nirvana, right? That would be real estate nirvana. And it would also be bad news in some ways for those of us that basically do these projects, because it might create the same kind of Amazon effect that we have seen in retail, where less companies ended up owning a larger share of the market. In real estate, there's hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs all making money for themselves and their investors. But, you know, Amazonian effect cannot happen because of the illiquidity of and all of the things that I just described. But people want to build billion and trillion dollar real estate companies, and they can't really do that without having something that turns real estate into stock, something that allows people to purchase it in a few minutes. That technology now exists. And oddly enough, the person that created that technology was not thinking about real estate. So the technology was invented in 2009 by the person that came out with Bitcoin. And that technology is called blockchain. And the blockchain is basically a set of digital blocks on the web that records information. It's like a register. The beauty of the blockchain is once you write something to the blockchain, it can never be unwritten. No government in the world, not even all the governments put together, not even all the federal banks in the world put together, can undo what is written in that block, because there are trillions of copies of that block, making it absolutely impossible for anyone to fiddle with it. This makes blockchain the most secure transaction technology invented by man ever. And now people are saying, okay, Bitcoin is just one way of using the blockchain. What else can I do with it? And so people are trying to tokenize everything. Tokenization is not a trend tied to real estate. Right now, every asset class in the world is being tokenized. Timber is being tokenized. Oil is being tokenized. People working on a copper mine in China are tokenizing it. Hotels are being tokenized. Every kind of product that can be tokenized, that wasn't already tokenized through the stock market, is now being tokenized. This isn't a $1 trillion opportunity, because that would be, it's a $1 trillion real estate opportunity, but tokenization is a $100 trillion opportunity, because it allows everything else in the world that is illiquid, including real estate, to now be traded like stock. Nothing that we've seen since the stock market, you know, kind of commoditizing in the 80s and then commoditizing again when the apps came out, nothing else compares to this. It is a massive, massive change in the way that real estate will be done. That's my intro to tokenization.
Man, that's wild. I mean, just to consider the ramifications of that, I can't see the end, you know, of where that will go. Like, can we back up a little bit? Because I feel like the example you gave initially was from the passive investor side on the buying the stock, and then more of the active investor on the investing in real estate. Do you think it's going to change both the active way that we invest as sponsors and also the passive way we invest as passive investors?
Actually, so both are underway, and I'll give you examples of both. So back in June, for the first time I told my community about tokenization, I said, you know, people say, what inning of the ball game am I in? You know, am I in the seventh inning? Am I in the sixth inning? And I said, in June last year, I said, you're not in the first inning. The pitcher is walking out to the mound and he's kind of just, you know, turning his arm over, but the first pitch hasn't been delivered yet in tokenization of real estate.
Right.
Obviously, there's other things being tokenized. That's no longer true. The pitcher's now delivered the first pitch in many different ways. And I'll give you examples. Both for what you asked me, your question is, you know, okay, it sounds like people can make investments. That's great. But what about sponsors? I'm going to give you both examples. So in the last 6 or 7 months, a number of companies have successfully tokenized real estate products of different kinds. So first I'll go with the consumer. There's a company called Lofty, Lofty.ai. All of these companies don't have .com domains, so .ai. And Lofty.ai is an Oakland-based company that is now tokenizing single family homes in Cincinnati, in Cleveland, Detroit, St. Louis. So these are 100-year-old you know, $100,000 properties that they're tokenizing without taking any kind of loans on them. The same sort of thing is being done by a second company called Realty. That is R-E-A-L-T, R-E-A-L-T, I think it's .co. And those people are doing even larger volumes of single family homes. Now, this is interesting to people because they can go out to the Lofty website and they can spend $50 and buy a portion of a home in Cincinnati or Cleveland. And each month, they will receive their portion of the rents. Somebody else is managing the property. They're just getting their portion of the rent. So it's interesting, right? And they're also getting a piece of the upside. So if that property has capital appreciation, they'll get that piece as well. But the challenge is it's extraordinarily difficult to do all of the tokenization stuff for $100,000 property. So most people are saying, look, the true potential of this is like stocks because, you know, Google is a $1 trillion company broken up into millions and millions of shares. Right. Isn't that the value? So a lot of people are saying, let's go bigger. Let's look at multifamily hotels. Let's look at, you know, offices. Let's tokenize this. So there are now companies looking to tokenize those things. And once again, in the last 6 months, we're still in the first inning here, multiple companies have done that. So the examples are Securitize. Securitize is now securitizing commercial assets. And who are they working with? The Sam Wilsons of the world. Sam wants to buy a multifamily property and it's $30 million. And he raises $5 million of equity from his investors and he wants another $2 or $3 million. So he goes to Securitize, and Securitize does both. So Securitize first builds a white label portal for Brick and Investment Group and their project with all the pictures of the property. And then the other part of Securitize, and you can just choose to do the white labeling part if all you want to do is run people through, you've got more investors that you want investing at the $5,000, $10,000 level, still have to be accredited, unfortunately, for now. And so now you can just simply say, hey, build me a white labeled portal for Brickin for this property, and I'll send my investors there and they can invest. They're still investing dollars, but their money, the rents are coming into their wallet. And this is where things are different. Tokens, right. The money comes into a wallet, and that wallet is usually an Ethereum wallet, and you can have that wallet on lots of different exchanges. Now, at any point in time, you can go into that wallet and say, put this money in my bank, right? And whatever the value is on that day of Ethereum in the wallet is going to get transferred over to your bank roughly 5 minutes later. So it's completely liquid, right? And at any point in time, you can also say, I want to sell this token for whatever its value is today. So you can sell it. With syndication, though, when you give $100,000 to Sam, you can never make an instant decision to sell your share. It's illiquid. The secondary market really doesn't exist, though we've seen some spotty, you know, versions of it. But let's be honest, 99.999% of syndication shares are illiquid. That is not true of a token because the token's not just on Sam's portal. Sam can say, I want this token also to be visible on the Securitize main site, your marketplace. I want it to be visible there. So my investors can go into the portal and say, I want to sell this token. And now that token is listed on the Securitize main website where there's thousands of investors, dozens of different sponsors, and somebody can buy my token within 20 or 30 minutes. And just like with stock, you know, you can say, I don't want to sell my share for less than this amount. You can say that. And you can sell it, you know, it only sells if it sells for more than that amount. Right. So now my security becomes liquid. So Securitize is doing that. Another company that's doing it is Solid Blocks. And they've done some of this in the US. They're an Israel-based company. Most of the tokenization is actually occurring in Europe. Europe, Israelis are far ahead. It's coming to the US in the last 3 or 4 months. Solid Blocks, for example, just did a set of detox centers in Florida on December 22nd. And that was considered one of the pioneering tokenization offerings in the US. Hotels have been done, even large ones have been done in Europe. And so this is on its way. There's 5 or 6 different companies now focusing on tokenizing assets for sponsors such as Sam Wilson. And those companies were not public, were not doing this publicly back in June. So here's what I want to say. This is a $100 trillion opportunity for real estate. It's $1 trillion. That's $1,000 billion, right? And we're in the first inning. So if there's anybody here, and I think that's 100% of the people listening right now, that said, I wish I could go back to 2011, knowing what I know about multifamily. You're in 2011 for real estate tokenization. You know, I'll give you an analogy. In 2011, Bitcoin was $1. Today, it's $40,000. Right. Wouldn't you want to go back to 2011 and get involved in the Bitcoin revolution? Well, today in tokenization, that token's really at a dollar.
That's just, I mean, mind-boggling. Again, I love what you're presenting here. I mean, this brings up some really just tactical questions. I mean, you know, we're kind of in the early stages of the regulatory environment of tokenization, blockchain, all of this. I mean, what are some things you might see that say, man, this could really, let's say you go through this whole process, you get paid in Ethereum, and the next thing you know that Bitcoin, Ethereum, all that's suddenly not legal, right? They've made Fedcoin now or whatever it is, right? So now you're stuck holding something that's worthless. And I don't know, I guess I'm just thinking about worst case scenarios. I mean, what do we see on the regulatory environment and how does that get navigated effectively, you know, for investors?
So here's what's exciting. When you buy Ethereum, tomorrow, if all the governments in the world ban Ethereum, you're screwed, right? Your $4,000 Ethereum token or coin is now worthless,
right?
Correct? But you know what's interesting about real estate tokenization? You bought real estate with this token. You're simply using the blockchain as a backend, right? You're not dependent upon the value of blockchain, of Bitcoin. If the value of Bitcoin plunges tomorrow to one half, your real estate is still worth the same.
Right.
So what we're doing is we are jumping on a 10-year bandwagon starting in 2011 of, you know, the use of blockchain, the securitization of other kinds of assets, right, such as coins, and all of the legal stuff that we've now worked through over the last 10 years. So we're actually coming into a very mature technology, but since we are using real estate to back it up, this, in my mind, is a lot better than a coin, which basically has value because Elon Musk tweeted about it.
Right.
You see what I mean? Here, there is a fixed asset in a part of the United States, and that fixed asset is being managed by professionals, and rents are going up on that asset. So I don't understand why anything happening to Ethereum or Bitcoin is going to affect that asset or its value.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. How about reporting? I mean, and I don't understand even how this happens, even in the stock market, to be honest with you, who owns what stock and how you get reporting at year end. Let's say your purchase, you put $100 in a syndication and that trades hands 10 times this year. I mean, who do we as a sponsor, who are we sending stuff to? How do we keep track of all that?
So first is this. So let's be candid. You're a sponsor. You have 50 investors who invested $100,000 each. The truth is right now you are responsible for making sure that all of them get the right number of dollars. Right. And let's be candid, there have been cases in our industry where people didn't get exactly what they were supposed to get, many times because it was an innocent mistake, right? But now what you're doing is you're paying a company that gets paid a subscription annual fee. Brickin is paying a company, Sam's paying a company whose job it is to make sure that if there's $1,000 of rent profits, it gets divided equally. Sam can never increase the tokens. Sam can't say, oh yeah, you know, they were supposed, my property was supposed to be 1,000 tokens and now it's worth 2,000. You can't do that because you signed a contract with a third party organization saying there can only be 1,000 tokens for this property, right? That number can never become 1,001. So you've actually added an intermediary who wants to become a public company someday. That's actually going to prevent you from making those kinds of mistakes. So all you do, all Sam does, is that each month, at the end of the month, just right now, Sam is sending checks to individual bank accounts of those 50 investors. Let's say in the future you tokenize and now there's 5,000 people that are holding the tokens. Well, your job actually gets easier, Sam, because what you're going to do is when you initially built the offering, you built a cap table on this third-party token vendor's website. And because that cap table is now built, in the future, any kind of transactions that occur on any site on the web, not just their website, but any site on the web. Remember, the blockchain is universal. So even if some other website were to transact the coin, they would still know that now X doesn't own this token, Y does it, and the money will still get to Y. You will simply upload the profits at the end of the month to the portal and say, this is the total amount of profit for these blockchain investors. And then the portal and the cap table sends the money out and it sends it to the wallets. It tracks their wallets. you're not responsible for any of that. This is less work than you're doing today, not more.
Right. Yeah. The decentralization of it, I think, is absolutely beautiful, especially as it pertains. I mean, in its own right, I love investor conversations, and you're going to kind of lose some of that along the way, is that getting to know, you know, the personal touch with your investors. But
you are. So there's a downside to this, right? This commoditizes things. And let me explain this. I mean, how many conversations do you think Jeff Bezos has with his individual investors buying one Amazon stock? It's commodity. There is no value of interpersonal relationships. So that's the bad side of tokenization. The commoditization is not all good. It's also bad. I can tell you that, let's assume today there's 10,000 syndicators in the US. Mm-hmm. My prediction is 10 years from now, there'll be 100. Wow. Because the ones that can scale the most are the ones that will grow. Because as everyone starts to do this, people are not going to want to work with 10 individual syndicators. They will want to work with larger companies that control portals that have tens of billions of dollars in transaction because there's higher liquidity. They can sell their token in a second for significant value. So there's bad news that in 10 years, we either have to become, Sam either has to become one of those 100 or go find something else to do. And from the perspective of the investor, also there's good and bad news. Everything that they do in real estate in 10 years will be 100% liquid. But the PE ratios that real estate has right now are much nicer, much better. You're getting more for your money. Well, in 10 years, property is stock. So why would the PE ratios be any different? Right now, stocks don't return much. You're just hoping on the appreciation. Well, 10 years from now, unfortunately, everyone will just be living on appreciation.
Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating. Neil, thank you for taking the time to break down this kind of new frontier we have in real estate and what your thoughts are on it going forward. Are there any other questions or things that I should have asked that maybe I didn't? Because again, I'm just wrapping my head around this whole idea. So is there anything else I should have asked that you'd say, hey man, this is something I really think we should have focused on?
Yeah, one piece. Please be extremely careful. Now that I've told you the names of some of these companies, be extremely careful not to buy tokens from anywhere except their websites yet. Because what's happening is the different vendors are not talking. Recently, one of these vendors, I'm not going to name who, basically somebody sold a bunch of tokens on another third-party website posing as them. These tokens were worthless. They didn't have the right numbers, but people bought them all the same because they felt like that vendor was actually selling the tokens. So this is the first inning. The vendors are still working out how stuff can be listed. So for now, when you're buying tokens, it's best to buy from the source. Don't go to T0 and buy tokens for Brickin Investment Group, because Brickin Investment Group may not have posted the tokens there, right? So it's not as safe or as secure as stocks just yet. It took a while for stocks, for companies to communicate with each other. It's going to take a while there. I'm not saying buying tokens is a bad idea. I'm sure it's a good idea. Just buy from the source right now.
Man, that's a wise piece of advice. I appreciate that. Neil, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, Grow Capitus, or learn more about you, what is the best way to do that?
So whether it's tokenization, as you can imagine, we'll be doing webinars on those, or webinars on about 20 other very important trends, you can find them all at multifamilyu.com. About 30,000 people attend our webinars. In fact, we have a webinar tonight with 1,056 people signed up. So that webinar is about doctors that want to become investors. And we have a doctor that, you know, does this sort of thing, providing advice today. But that's typical. We usually have 1,000 to 2,000 people that sign up for webinars. You can check them out at multifamilyu.com.
Neil, thank you so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.